Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Ellie Mae McNulty. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Ellie Mae McNulty was born in 1975 and raised near London, England. Her father, John McNulty, was a communication consultant. For many years, he was a director of Mensa, the High IQ Society. Ellie attended private school and developed a love of theater. She moved to London after high school and pursued a career in acting before moving to New York City in the mid-1990s and working as a production assistant on Broadway. In 1998, she was cast in a leading role in an off-Broadway play called The Fastest Clock in the Universe. Allegedly, she struggled during rehearsals and did not get along with the director. Despite this, she received a good review from a New York Times critic who proclaimed that her career was no doubt in ascendance. In 2002, Ellie found work reviewing screenplays for a Hollywood producer as she continued to seek acting jobs. In 2003, she was cast in a minor role in a low-budget movie titled The Swing Life. Ellie married a British fashion designer. However, the marriage did not last long. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. In 2004, Ellie Mae McNulty moved to Los Angeles, California. She rented a bedroom in a house occupied by two women. According to one of those women, Ellie complained that the room did not live up to what had been advertised and requested a reduction in rent. On October 31, 2004, Ellie moved out while still owing 2 months of rent. The women filed in small claims court, but the case was dismissed. One time, while visiting a museum, Ellie met the famous director David Lynch. He had an organization called the David Lynch Foundation for Consciousness-Based Education and Peace. Ellie began practicing transcendental meditation through this foundation. This appeared to become a key part of her identity. A writer and filmmaker named Jason Gervitz had an extra bedroom available for rent in his house in Malibu. He had some concerning dealings with Ellie. Here is what happened, according to Jason. Ellie moved into the bedroom in Jason's house, but failed to pay the security deposit and never paid rent. She told him that a relative would be sending her money soon. Jason became more assertive with Ellie, trying to get her to pay, but Ellie remained calm. She did not seem to be bothered by anything. When she was in the room for 30 days, her demeanor shifted. Ellie was now hostile and told Jason she was not leaving and it was illegal to force her out of the house. Also, she was not going to pay rent. Jason tried playing loud music outside of Ellie's bedroom, but it did not seem to bother her at all. When he messaged her friends on Facebook accusing her of failing to pay rent, Ellie tried to get a temporary restraining order against him, claiming that he slandered her. Eventually, Jason discovered that Ellie had a history of failing to pay rent. For instance, she allegedly stayed in her yoga teacher's house without paying. He realized that Ellie was a serial squatter who had a decent level of knowledge about the law. Trying to get her evicted through the court system would be very expensive for Jason. However, he learned about an alternative tactic to deal with Ellie. Jason took away Ellie's house key, hoping that she would call the police, which she did. When the police arrived, Jason requested a civil harassment restraining order. The police asked Ellie to step outside to discuss the situation. When she crossed over the threshold of her own volition, the police refused to allow her to re-enter the house. If Ellie had simply remained in the house, the police could not have done anything. She did not know the law as well as she thought. After falling for this trick, Ellie moved into a house in Santa Monica, owned by a widow in her 80s. Allegedly, the widow paid Ellie tens of thousands of dollars to leave. In 2019, Ellie rented a room in a house in Malibu owned by a couple named Roger and Natasha Honan. The room was attached to their garage. According to the couple, here's what happened. Ellie said that she was an English actor, and her house burned down in the wildfires earlier that year. Right away, the couple noticed that Ellie exhibited odd behavior. For example, she piled papers up in the middle of her room, would sneak up behind Natasha while she was cooking, and would sneak onto the couple's floor to do laundry late at night. The couple put a cowbell on the door that separated Ellie's room from the main house, but Ellie learned how to enter without ringing the bell. Eventually, the couple managed to evict Ellie. In 2021, 46-year-old Ellie encountered a 65-year-old artist named Alden Marin. Alden lived in a two-bedroom condominium in Malibu and was battling stage 4 melanoma. Here's what happened according to Alden and his sister, Mindy, who both interacted with Ellie. About a month after the initial encounter between Ellie and Alden, Ellie mentioned that she was looking for a place to stay for a few days. She had a rental lined up, but it was still being prepared for her to move in. Alden invited Ellie to stay in his condominium for a few days. However, Ellie never moved into the new rental as planned. After being in Alden's condominium for about 30 days, her demeanor changed. Ellie gave him orders, berated him, ridiculed his medical problems, flushed cloth napkins down the toilet, and did not flush her organic waste deliveries, so to speak. It's good to see that Ellie had mastered yet another form of squatting. However, this was the only type of deposit she was actually willing to make. Ellie kept promising that the money was on its way, insisting that she was waiting for an inheritance from her grandmother in order to move into the rental. The alleged mistreatment at the hands of Ellie left Alden frightened to access his own kitchen. He spent most of his time in his downstairs bedroom. On January 11, 2022, Alden went to the mental health unit of a hospital. He was diagnosed with major depressive disorder. While he was in the hospital, Ellie changed the locks to his condominium. She texted his family members and insisted she could heal Alden using transcendental meditation and requested a $12,000 loan in exchange for leaving the premises. On another occasion, Ellie offered to leave for $20,000. It's worth noting that Ellie denied changing the locks. She accused the Marin family of doing that. In early 2022, the case went to court and Ellie was ordered to vacate Alden's condominium. About 3 years later, in early 2025, an article about Ellie's alleged adventures was published by Vanity Fair. Residents of Malibu were on the lookout for Ellie, trying to make sure no one else offered her a place to stay. Ultimately, she moved away from Malibu. At the time I'm making this video, her current location is unknown, but she has been spotted more times than Bigfoot. There are rumors about her being in Westlake Village, Calabasas, and Thousand Oaks, California. There was even someone claiming that she returned to her home country of Britain. Now moving to my analysis. Ellie Mae McNulty was never charged with any crime. All her alleged misbehavior remained in the realm of civil law. She was taken to court several times over the course of almost 20 years. One attorney said that his firm had evicted Ellie on 5 separate occasions. For the purposes of my analysis, I'm going to run under the assumption that the allegations against Ellie are true, even though she has disputed some of them. This brings me to the question, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Ellie Mae McNulty had a love of theater from an early age. She maintained a dream of being an actor. She moved to the United States to advance her career and had some early success, like appearing in an off-Broadway theater production. A positive review in the New York Times led Ellie to believe that she was destined for greatness. This phase of her life was probably the happiest she had ever been. Her dreams were coming true. It felt like anything was possible. Over time, however, Ellie found it difficult to replicate her initial achievements. She moved to Southern California, hoping that she would have more luck there. Ellie was determined to be part of the action. She decided to live in areas where wealthy movie industry professionals lived, like actors, directors, and producers. Maybe she believed this would increase her chances of being discovered, or this could have simply been a fake-it-until-you-make-it strategy. If she lived the life, walked the walk, and talked the talk, people would assume that she was the real deal and offer her high-paying acting jobs. Ellie wasn't necessarily wrong in making this assumption. However, the expenses associated with living in places like Malibu are substantial. Faking being a great actor is one thing, but it does not pay the bills. Ellie became familiar with the landlord-tenant laws in California, which are known for leaning strongly in favor of the tenants. Once a person establishes themselves as a tenant in a residence, it is very time-consuming, expensive, and arduous for a landlord to evict them. The laws are extremely lopsided. It's a squatter's paradise. There is no set minimum amount of time for a person to become established as a tenant. However, many people believe that if a person lives in a home for 30 days, they qualify as a tenant. This is kind of an informal rule. Ellie's strategy was straightforward. She would move into a room that somebody had for rent with the intent of never paying the landlord anything. In the first 30 days of living there, Ellie would be cordial and polite. When the landlord asked her for money, she would come up with excuses. For instance, she just needed a few more days for a rich relative to send her money. Her British accent and the fact that she had worked as an actor put landlords at ease. She seemed harmless enough, being described as eccentric, friendly, and maybe having delusions of grandeur. This is pretty typical for Hollywood professionals. She fit right in. Nobody suspected her being a squatter. Ellie did not look desperate or down on her luck. She was composed and confident. Once Ellie made it to 30 days, there would be a pronounced shift in her attitude. She went from being relaxed and gregarious to being hostile and antagonistic. She asserted her squatter's rights to the maximum the law would allow, sometimes going all the way to court and being evicted. Who knows how much money she left unpaid to landlords. Ellie had found a way to beat the system, with California lawmakers as her unwitting conspirators. Despite her effectiveness in remaining in houses and her knowledge of the law, one landlord, Jason, managed to get her out of his house with the simple trick of requesting a civil harassment restraining order. After this, Ellie probably was determined never to make that mistake again. As all this was happening, Ellie continued to represent herself as a successful Hollywood professional. She became acquainted with the director David Lynch and took opportunities to be photographed with celebrities, like the actor Jim Carrey. Ellie told people that a legendary producer was paying for a script that she was writing, but this was not true. On her LinkedIn profile, she claimed to be the founding mother of an independent film production company based in Venice Beach, California. On social media profiles, Ellie recycled the same images numerous times over the years. For instance, in 2021, she posted a screenshot of the New York Times review praising her exceptional acting in the 1998 off-Broadway play. There is this sense that Ellie was trapped in time. She was living in the past, hoping against hope that she could someday recapture her golden age. Now moving to my final thoughts. Ellie did not achieve success as an actor, but that may have simply been bad luck. One could argue she was exceptional at pretending to be something she was not, which is exactly what an actor does. Overall, she was a fairly efficient squatter. She may not have understood every aspect of the law in California, like the civil harassment restraining order, but she was a master at gaining trust. She was exceptionally skilled at manipulating and deceiving people long enough to establish herself as a tenant. In addition, Ellie gained what most squatters can only dream of, notoriety. This is what caused her to run out of potential victims. Everyone in Malibu became aware of what she was doing. This highlights a curious paradox in the world of squatting. If a person is too good at squatting, they will not be able to stay in one area for long. A master of squatting cannot squat forever. Those are my thoughts on the case of Ellie Mae McNulty. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.